I'm Declan Burke, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindsets, motivations, and opinions of the brands, agencies, rights holders, and elite talent working with Sport Endorse. Today's guest, Kevin Brown, is Director of Business Development and Sponsorship for Staten Island Entertainment, a dynamic firm that is bringing pro baseball, concerts, and community entertainment to Staten Island and New York. Kevin talks to me about what it's like to be part of a rapidly growing young company with strong values, how the Ferry Hawks came to be, ways in which the company can work with partners and sponsors, top sporting moments, and why the Japanese player Yoshi Tsutsugo has joined the Ferry Hawks. Enjoy. Hi Kevin, how are you? Thank you very much for joining us on the Sport Endorse Sit Down podcast.
I'm good. Thank you, Declan. Thank you for having me.
And listen, I really appreciate you taking time out this early on a Monday morning to talk with us, as I'm based in Europe at the moment.
No, you got it. You got it. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So listen, let's get started with the basics so that our listeners can learn about you. Where do you come from, Kevin?
Yeah, so I'm Kevin Brown. I am the director of sponsorship for Staten Island Entertainment and the Staten Island Ferry Hawks, based out of Staten Island, New York, which is a borough of New York City. Grew up here my whole life, you know, really a hometown kid, I guess. You know, basically whole family's here, except for a couple cousins out in County Sligo. Shout out County Sligo.
Okay. Brian and Connor Carter. Yeah, my mother's from Sligo.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. It's funny. Small world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's me. And okay. That's about it.
Good stuff. So, I mean, you know, we're Sport Endorse. You're involved with baseball and the entertainment side. So, I mean, in terms of sport, have you participated in sport yourself at all?
I have, yeah. You know, I played in high school. I played all three major sports, football, basketball, baseball. And then in college, I played 2 years of American football. I was a wide receiver for Misericordia University in Dallas, Pennsylvania. It's a Division III school. After 2 years, decided kind of want to move more into the announcing end. And that's when I started finding that part of myself rather than being a player. It was the other side of everything.
But that's great. It's really interesting because, I mean, it's not for this particular podcast, but the whole notion of transition out of sport into civilian life can be quite tricky. So it's very interesting that you've got that experience already. I mean, you've mentioned your title within Staten Island Entertainment, but give us a sense of what you kind of do day to day or week to week, if you can.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you understand from Sports Endorse and just all that you've done, every day is kind of different, right? Yeah. It changes up, especially with the Staten Island Ferry Hawks. We are a independent professional baseball team. By that, it means we're not in the MLB, but we're affiliated with the MLB.
Okay.
So we are kind of like a minor league team in a way where it's a bunch of guys that were first round, second round picks that didn't get picked up again on their second contract for whatever reason. And they're trying to fight their way back into the MLB. Because of that, it is like minor league baseball in a way where we only have a staff of about 20. Everybody's important in doing their own specific thing, mine being sponsorship sales, but also communication, social media, photography. You really got to be able to do everything. I mean, the other day we had an influx of a group that we weren't expecting. It was like a 250 person group, and I had to hop behind the fryers and throw on chicken fingers and french fries. You know, it's one of those things where every day is different, but in a good way, it keeps you on your toes. But me specifically, I am in charge of sponsorship. So any advertisement that leading up to the season needs to be done, that would be me. Outfield wall signs, concourse signs, in-game activities, stuff like that, but also in-season tickets and generating revenue any way I can.
Okay, that's brilliant. That's going to make some of the later questions very interesting from a discussion perspective. Yeah. No, I get you. I mean, in terms of size of organization, I'm a big believer with the right culture. What that means is that everybody who you're teammates with, basically, the successes are huge. Like, you really enjoy the successes. And then when tough times come at different points,
exactly,
it's kind of easier for you all to kind of put your shoulder to the wheel collectively because you've all been doing that little bit of everything. And that flexibility is kind of by default in the DNA of the firm, you know?
100%.
So Staten Island Entertainment itself as an entity, I mean, the baseball team's obviously a key part of that, right? The Ferry Hawks. I mean, is there anything else that the company does?
Yeah, so it's funny. SIE, Staten Island Entertainment, was born in November of 2021, that was kind of when the ownership group came together. It started with my boss, who's the president and part owner, Eric Shuffler. He joined up with John Kasmatidis. I don't know if maybe you know him. He's a billionaire in America and in New York. he owned Grassetti Supermarkets and Big Apple Media, WABC. They kind of came together with this group and hired our GM and executive vice president, Gary Perrone, to kind of say, what are we? What are we going to do here? We're a baseball team, but what else can we do? First step in that, because the field had already existed, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but the field had already existed. It was already a part of the Staten Island community. How do we transform that, right, and make it into something? Baseball team was up and running by April of 2022, so that's about 5 months. We've been nonstop from there. So it's just trying to figure out where we can plug in entertainment. We just started our little local concert series as kind of like a test to see kind of how it did and how does the community react. And they reacted very well. So I'm hoping as we now move along in the next season, as we come up, we can expand upon that.
Okay, brilliant. I love the idea that as an entity, you're trying to get the best that you can out of the assets that you have and with the community angle. So making sure that the local community are getting value from it as well. It sounds like a very noble project, which is good to hear. So baseball, obviously, is the main sport. On your roster, who would you say is your most energetic or kind of well-known star?
So this past week, we signed a international superstar, a Japanese superstar, Yoshi Tsutsugo.
Okay.
This was a result of, we actually had Hideki Matsui come in and teach a clinic that was through our GM, Gary Perrone, who had a relationship with the Japanese baseball world since about 2006. They had an old program before the Staten Island Ferry Hawks, just to give you a quick, I know I'm backing up on background too. Before the Staten Island Ferry Hawks were in existence, there was a team called the Staten Island Yankees. They were a direct affiliate of the New York Yankees. And we had that on Staten Island for about 20 years. And they unfortunately folded when the MLB went through a huge restructuring program. But because of that, we did have some stars come through here even before then. One of them being Hideki Matsui, and Gary had this relationship with Hideki since 2006, where they were sending players from Staten Island, like Little League players, to Japan, Hideki's hometown. And Hideki in turn was sending Little League players from his hometown to New York to kind of learn the different aspects of culture and baseball coming together.
That's cool.
This year was the first year he was able to revitalize that. And because of that program, there was a lot of hype around the Japanese media where Yoshi realized that Hideki was here and that was his hero growing up. And he was like, I want to play here now. And we were like, yes, please. And he's hit 4 home runs in 4 games since coming to the team. And all week I've been equating him to Zava from Ted Lasso. I don't know if you watched that show, but he really is kind of that dynamic. We're blessed. We do have a lot of good characters on this team and in this organization where he's just something that's fresh on my mind, but we have a ton of guys. This guy, Ricardo Cespedes, who's just constantly out in front of everybody. Nick Beardsley, you know, it's guys that might not be household names yet, in my opinion, but I really do think they can get there.
That's pretty cool. I spent 11 years living in Japan from 95 to 2006. So I was at one point acutely aware of everything that was going on in Japanese baseball. Hugely, hugely followed, obviously. Yeah.
It's almost to a point where I think their culture loves it and embraces it more even so than America right now, because they're coming out in droves to see Yoshi. And it is really impressive. You know, I don't know if I would travel across the world to see my favorite player play in Japan, but I give them credit.
And that sense of pride in your own nation's players is huge in Japan. Also huge in Ireland, I might add, because we're such a small nation. If anybody puts on a green jersey of any sort in any kind of a sport, the whole nation gets behind them quite quickly. Yeah. Sometimes I ask people to look back a little bit around what has been their biggest success in terms of sport. But I mean, given that Staten Island Entertainment is a relatively young company, what do you think, even though it's been doing really well, has been its biggest success, let's say, so far?
One thing that we set out to do, I've been with the company since April of 2022, right before opening day was my first day. So I came in right into the thick of everything. It was crazy. My first day, there was literally, it felt like the place was on fire. Like everybody was running around trying to get stuff together. You know, you're putting on this show to where you don't know how it's going to look because it's the first time. And that was my introduction to it. that was my introduction to sports in general. Just a quick one too. I was in healthcare before I started in sports.
Okay.
You know, I've been playing sports my whole life, but I worked in healthcare through the pandemic, the Medicaid population in New York City, and it was tough. And that's when I was like, okay, I need a little bit of a change up. And that's when I went into sports. The opportunity came up and I had to take it. But back to the question just of what the greatest success is, I do think it really is just getting this up and running so quick. Many teams don't do that in any league. You come up with a concept first, you develop it, and then it could take years to actually come to life. But what Gary and Eric were really able to do in 6 months was amazing. And that's really what I saw from right off the bat. So I'd say that's our greatest success. And it still is. You know, we're still working out kinks here and there. A lot of things come up and we address them, but that's something that would have maybe been addressed if we had waited. But I'm happy we didn't, because Staten Island really has gotten behind us and rallied behind us, and we're only growing. So it's all good.
It's like the whole fail to plan, plan to fail, which is true. At the same time, you can spend your whole life planning. You got to get on with
it.
And rarely does anything go according to plan. So having that kind of that adaptability and flexibility in the DNA of the firm is excellent. I'm in France at the moment, actually. So the French would say, bravo, well done. So talking a little bit about maybe to your role around bringing in revenue and the sponsorship side of things, how important or how useful do you think sport can be, and particularly with the community aspect, maybe to businesses? How can it help them?
For sure. One thing about baseball is it is a staple. You could say what you want about it. It's dying. It needs a revamp. Things are true. We see it with the new rules that they're implementing right now in the MLB. They implemented with us first in our league. So we know about all those rules. We've had a pitch clock for 3 years now in this league. We've had different rules that speed the game along and make it more fun, right? So with baseball, though, because it's a staple, everybody knows it. Everybody knows what they're getting into. They know what the fans are going to look like. They know how long it's going to be. They know the clapping. They know the take me out to the ball game. They know the cadences, right?
Yeah.
Because of that, brands and companies and businesses as a whole, they understand what we're looking for. And they'll say, oh, well, I saw the Yankees do this. And I'm like, that's great. But what if we do this? And it allows me to be creative in a way where it's something maybe they haven't seen before in baseball. So it makes it fun.
Yeah.
Right now, we're working with a local boxing club. Where does boxing fit into baseball? Well, let's go with a Rocky cam. We have the camera going on all the fans. We have the mascot dressed up with big boxing gloves on, taking it their best shots at different fans as fun. But it kind of made it in a way where it was like, oh, okay, this is different. You know, this is something a little more fun in baseball where it's like, okay, keep us entertained. Let's go. As we move along too, it's interesting. Every other venue is very digital heavy, right? Static signage is kind of dead. But in minor league sports, it's a little different. You might not have the capital to do what the Mets did, where they partnered with Samsung and they changed all of their digital menus and billboards to become this ultra fine 4K view. For us, we don't really have the capital to do that. So, you know, trying to figure out ways to where we can incorporate the new world into our old world. And businesses kind of realize that. And I think it's in a way where it's, like I said, it's the staple, but it allows us to be creative within that staple.
Okay. It's pretty cool. Yes, if we all had unlimited budgets and capital, we could do some amazing things. But I sometimes think, like, I worked in financial services for a while. And to be creative people on one of the teams coming up with advertising ideas, and they'd come up with this idea and I'd go, no, 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 that'll never make it past compliance. And they used to get frustrated. And I said, well, actually, it's a challenge to your creativity. Because if literally it's blue ocean sky, you can do what you want. You can be creative, but is it really that creative? Whereas if you've got constraints, being creative within that is much more of a challenge. And personally, I think that when you succeed with those criteria, it's super. It's just absolutely super.
Exactly. And you know, it allows you to track what works and what doesn't, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it's kind of, like you said, too big of an ocean, you can drown very easily.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about that. And that leads into a technology question, I guess, because in some of these conversations that I'm having, tech is featuring heavily and some not at all. So I guess from your perspective, looking at the next 12 to 24 months, does technology have a role? And if so, what kind of a role?
Yeah. So in regards to technology, I think social media will really propel us. We've only been growing it so much, and it really has been working out for us. That's definitely step one. Step two is we did incorporate a digital concourse board this past season just to see would it work. You know, we incorporated into different deals that we've done. Somebody wants a table, that's awesome. But we also have this, like, where it's playing on a loop. You know, it's not necessarily a stationary thing, but it works. But I do believe that we will become a little more forward on the technology end. It's just more of a slow burn than a quick light with that. It's making sure that our ROI works on stuff that we buy. You know, we really do have to be a proven track system just because it is a little different for us.
Well, the principles of which you're trying to run the business by are just good principles anyway, yeah? Even if we have a huge balance sheet.
Exactly.
Buying a whole lot of tech that we think might work without actually testing it sufficiently to prove that there is a good ROI, to your point, is it's not really doing your job properly, right? It's taking risk where it's unnecessary.
Exactly. It's relying too much on an outside source rather than yourself. But by next season, I do think, you know, we had one digital concourse board this year. I do think we'll have three or four next year. And that's where it will develop. It will go from one to three. And that's kind of minor league baseball in a nutshell, where you start here and then you end up here. And that's with all of our deals. You know, we've seen so much growth in everybody. It seems as if everybody believes in us. And that's where we kind of take off.
Okay. Excellent stuff. So, I mean, community clearly is huge, right? And we've touched on that at the start.
Yeah.
So what do you do to ensure you're engaging with the community? I guess there's ways in which, obviously, from a promotional perspective, if you've got things you want to try out, but do you do any workshops where you have them come in and talk, or is it more kind of you decide, you A-B test and you see how it goes?
For sure. Obviously, with any sports venue, you have to have the heavy hitters, right? Pepsi, Nathan's. I mean, I can keep going on and on just with the big guys. That's fine. And that's really what you have to do. And they're great. I mean, they're some of our best brands that we have, and they're really awesome. But one thing that we really tried is to incorporate the Staten Island and the New York City business community as a whole. Mm-hmm. We're the biggest city in the world. There's hundreds of thousands of small businesses that have money that they want to spend, but they want to do it in a smart way with people that they trust, right? And it's kind of making sure that we incorporate them. Personally, I'm a part of the Staten Island Chamber of Commerce. I'm part of their Young Professionals Program, Bucks Business Network, you know, all these things on Staten Island to where you're constantly being ingrained in the community. And sometimes it seems like there's money and it goes around in a circle, but you got to be a part of the circle. You got to know how to do it.
Yep.
And how to do it is just to be yourself and be a good person. And that's really what I tell our interns and anybody else that's on sponsorship with me. I'm like, just be yourself. You don't have to be a salesman to do this job, to sell in this world. You just have to be personable and really be accountable when people ask you about what their sponsorship looks like.
Yeah.
Don't lie about numbers. Just be honest and be yourself. And that's really been a helpful for us. Staten Island felt when the Yankees left, they didn't do a good job of doing that to where they were a part of the community. You know, we've done so much. In 2022, after 4 months of existing, we won the community award for the Atlantic Professional Baseball League.
Wow. That's great.
So that goes to show just how much we were like, we have to be a part of this. Whether it was hosting graduations, whether it was being out in the community at the Staten Island University Hospital, which is Northwell Health.
Okay.
Being at their hospitals and in their cancer centers and being a part of everything that we could. We actually broke this past year. We're well on our way to that award again. I mean, I'll go on record. I'll do the Joe Namath. We are winning that championship. But I really do think we will win that community award again this year. This past April, we organized something with these awesome organizations called Grace Foundation, Eden 2, On Your Mark. There's a few of them. And they participate in like special needs help.
Okay.
And autism and spectrum and stuff like that. It's about different programs for children and adults on the spectrum.
Okay.
And we broke the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest human puzzle piece. at the stadium with their help. And yeah, so, you know, it's just stuff like that. And all the money that was raised for that event and those games went back to those programs. So it's stuff like that that really generates this sense of community. And that's really what we've been priding ourselves on. But that's kind of how business-wise we do it.
It makes perfect sense to me. And I guess circling back a little bit to what you were saying around don't lie about the numbers, be straight. That, I mean, that ties in with exactly the values of Sport Nurse are pretty straightforward. Integrity, transparency, relentlessness, and inclusion.
Trust me, it's tough, especially when the bigger name sponsors come back to you and they're like, all right, well, what was your average attendance this year? And you're like, do I want to give you the number of tickets that we gave, or do I say the real thing? Where, because if they come to a game and they're sitting there looking at their activation on a rainy Monday and there's 500 people in the crowd, they're going to be mad. So like, you got to be honest and be upfront where it's like, hey, listen, some nights are better than others and we're building. So that's just really what you got to do.
In my head, that apart from it being the correct thing to do anyway, I think it's business smart because you're building, you've got the community and you're building. Ultimately, in today's world, authenticity and honesty can be difficult to find. Sounds like you've got both of those ingredients, which means you're going to build longer term relationships, which is better for everybody. Absolutely everybody wins with longer term relationships.
100%.
Excellent. So this is a broader question, and it comes up every now and again from what businesses can learn from sport. Sometimes there's a vice versa aspect to that, but we're more interested in what businesses can learn from sport. So if that's coaching mentality or if it's openness or if it's, you know, bouncing back from defeats, etc. So like, what do you think in your experience, how can business learn from sport?
I definitely think, like you said, coachability is definitely a big part of that. But more so than anything, it's the team mentality. It's we before me. I think businesses can learn, and it's not all businesses and it's not all people in business. It's just certain people in business can learn from, and it's something that was ingrained in me from the time I was five. It's why you bunt instead of swing for the fences sometimes, because the guy on first has to get in the scoring position. It's not necessarily a knock on you if you're not the one that hits a home run or scores the winning basket or, you know, gets the penalty kick. There's so much more to it. And that's where you'll see the best business being done. When everybody is working towards a common goal that's bigger than themselves and everybody chips in to do it. That doesn't mean that you can't have personal success within that as well. And I think that's what gets lost in translation. It's just sometimes it's better for your business, for your team, even for your boss, that you chip in and you just do what you have to do that sets it up for somebody else to get it out of the park. You know, it doesn't have to all be you all the time. And that's one thing I think that gets lost in translation with business.
Good. Like it. Okay. We've talked about how businesses can learn from sport. I guess on the flip side, businesses getting involved with sport in relation to sponsorship, there are certain risks which you should always evaluate. And they obviously differ depending upon whether you're dealing with an individual athlete or a bunch of athletes or a team or a wider type entity. What would you suggest are good ways to mitigate risk when it comes to sponsorship?
Yeah, I think the best way really is, and it's what I said before, it's not jamming a square peg into a round hole, right? You don't really necessarily want a certain brand or business just because they're a certain brand or business. Like, you got to really do your research. That's number one. Go on to the websites, Google them, go on, you know, we use Sponsor United, you know, they've been awesome. Really look into the brand and the business first and see what they like to do. Just because you have an outfield wall open doesn't mean they have to be an outfield wall sponsor or anything. Just try to work it to where you see what they like to do. If it's, you know, women empowerment causes, if it's animal rights, I don't know, if they just want an outfield wall, that's fine too. And it's just trying to make it more catered to the business as sponsor so that they're happy with the way it works. You don't want to put anybody, including your own brand, in a situation to where somebody's unhappy or there is something bad that comes with it. You got to really do your research and figure out where somebody fits.
Gotcha.
And that's tough. If somebody is, I don't want to say the word problematic, but at the same time, if somebody has something that could make you look bad, it's hard to turn down money, right? So you try to figure out where it works so that you don't have to really deal with that.
Yeah, gotcha. That makes good sense. How important are values, do you think? I know from a personal perspective, in terms of you already explained that when you're talking to the interns and anybody helping you with sponsorship, values are clearly important. But from the point of view of maybe that brand who has that money and looking at their, you know, what they like to do, but what are their values like versus the values of the Fairy Hawks? Or how important is that? Does there need to be an alignment or not?
I believe there does, especially when you work the way we do and where we're so ingrained in the community. It's kind of just making sure that all the groups understand that, first and foremost, everything is a business. Mm-hmm. We aren't a nonprofit. While we do try to help into where we are a business when it comes down to it. We have to be in the green. Yep. Being in the red means we shut down and we can't be the community hub that we can be.
Yep.
On top of that, we also don't want to flaunt negative imagery and just what may be perceived as a negative brand to somebody in their face 24/7. But, you know, at the same time, if it's a big corporation, the small-time local owner of that corporation might not have the same values of the corporation. You know, they're trying to make their own too.
Yep.
So it's kind of, in a way, you got to really integrate them. And it's like I said, just do your homework and be very persistent in staying in touch with the community and talking. Once you shut down and don't say to the community what you're doing, that's when people start to get defensive and be like, oh, well, you don't care about us then. We do. We're open. We're an open forum. We host community partner and community days constantly where local business owners and just local people can come in and talk to our ownership directly.
Okay.
You know, there's not many teams that do that.
No.
You know, I know that the Mets and Steve Cohen, he's such a larger scale than us, but he's been trying to do that as well. We do the same thing where it's like, you want to email our owner? It's Eric at Fairy Hawks. You want to email our GM and our executive vice president? Gary@fairyhawks.com. He answers everything.
Yeah.
So stuff like that is what's important to where making sure that the values are in line.
Okay. What makes a good sponsor for you then? Let's say we said, Kevin, here's a magic wand. So let's look at next season. So for next season, you retain your current roster of sponsors because you're clearly building good relationships with them all, but you're going to get the chance to bring in one sponsor who's going to really help the organization maybe go up a step. Yeah. What does that sponsor look like for you?
It's interesting. It's finding the open categories, right? Because we're new, we have some activations in the park that haven't been done yet. One of them being we have a landing up on our suite level that on certain nights, on busy nights, we'll put a bar up there.
Yep.
Just because, like, and people can sell it, but it's boring. It's gray, kind of looks like a prison. I don't like that. I would love to build that out to be a lounge of sorts.
Okay.
To be like a suite level lounge where it's like all of our tickets are a flat rate at the door, $15.50, but maybe you do at the door a $40 ticket and people get to come upstairs and hang out in the whatever lounge it may be.
Gotcha.
That's my number one going into the off season to where, okay, how can I build this out? I'd love for it to be maybe like a liquor brand of some type. Mm-hmm. I mean, a Jameson lounge would be awesome. That would be cool. Something like that, you know, but like a gravity bar of sorts would be very cool in that area. That's all my number one.
So Diageo Irish Distillers, if you're listening, yeah, get in touch.
There we go. Yeah.
Maybe also we could say if there's any construction firms out there that specialize in fit outs. Yeah. Also get in touch with Kevin. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Cool. That's good. And then I guess content, right?
Yeah.
So content seems to come up as an important point for a lot of activation around sponsorship. Now it depends. So it's like,
yes,
does the in-person type stuff, obviously, like what you've just alluded to, where people could come to a lounge, have a beer, sit, watch the game.
Yeah.
Maybe the meet the players, that type of thing. What about other types of content? Is that possible? How would that work?
So I said before, our social media is very important to us. Mm-hmm. Our marketing is decent enough. You know, it is what it is. We are in the local paper and everything like that. But our social media, we grew from the bottom. You know, we didn't buy an existing account and build upon that. Like,
We
built from follower number zero. Yeah. Our Instagram is now up to right around like 12,500. Our Facebook is growing. I definitely think social media plays a huge part with us. One, we did get a little social media, sponsored social media crazy this year. We did. That's on me, definitely, because it was one of our biggest assets. You know, and you can get creative with social media, right? Yes. It's not necessarily so cut and dry. We've been doing things. For example, we're doing something right now with this business called Custom Closets. It's in Brooklyn and Staten Island. They're kind of all over, but we're going to do something where it's like on social media, it's a story and it's like, where's Waldo? Where's Frankie in a cluttered closet? And like, you know, it's little activations like that that are so fun that sometimes you can get lost in the amount that you do. Yeah. Unfortunately for our director of communications and our director of graphic design, they've had to deal with me doing that. And I give them kudos, Mike and Trish. I give you kudos, man. It gets crazy. So we build it up. But now we're trying to explore, where do we fit in the YouTube landscape?
Yeah.
YouTube's number one right now in regards to social media. So it's YouTube and then Twitch and then everything else kind of following from there. But those two are way up there. Yeah. Where do we fit in YouTube? We're a baseball team. You got to toe the line of where it's content versus marketing.
Yeah.
You know, the consumer doesn't want to be marketed to. They don't want you throwing buy a season ticket plan in their face, buy a sponsorship. Like, they don't want that. But you could do it in a way to where people say, I want to be a part of this. How do I become a part of this? And I think YouTube is our new frontier of where we could do behind the scenes stuff. You know, people love the players. They want to be a part of their lives. So what a better way than doing, you know, a video of them just hanging out playing dominoes. You know what I mean? Like something like that. I think that's where our next frontier is in regards to our social media success. And I do think that this year will be big on that.
Okay, pretty cool. So return on investment. Everybody has KPIs, right? And
yeah.
So I guess on one side, you've got brand KPIs where they're probably looking at number of eyeballs. Ultimately, if they can trace that back to sales and therefore revenue earned, that's amazing. My experience is that's really difficult to do, but brand awareness is something, and you know, sense in the community definitely can be kind of somewhat polled. So from your perspective, as we're going to call you a rights holder in this context as in the team.
Yeah.
What's a good ROI? Because obviously there's a cost associated with all those clever social media ideas that you have where you've got Mike and Trish or so working really hard. How do you balance that? What do good KPIs look like for you?
So it's funny to say, on our end, if it doesn't go to print, it's good for us. You know what I mean? Anything that we don't have to print, we consider that an automatic, we're in the green. Now, of course, you got to be careful of people's time and energy and what is taking too much time versus what we could be doing on the other end. And we do run into that a lot. But I would say a sponsorship that includes social media, our digital concourse, stuff that goes up during the game, you know, our shout outs, our ad reads, you know, if we can play a video, a commercial up on the board, that's the best for us because it's just playing an ad on the board. Yeah. It's just our digital guy literally dragging it from the email that is sent to us by the sponsor and putting it into the computer that we run the board with.
Gotcha.
You know, that's easy for us. In regards to like outfield wall signage, that's tougher. You know, we can't do that in-house, right? We got to send that out to, I forget the company's name. They're great though, out in California. And then they got to design it. They got to print it. And then they send it back to us. Now we can put it up by ourselves. It's a little hard. Again, with a staff of 20 where we're at, it's a little more difficult. So sometimes they have to send out their guys. And then we're waiting on two guys to come in from California across the country. You know, if they come in at night, they get put up in a hotel, they're coming in at 12 o'clock the next day, they're putting it up. They're like, oh no, we have the wrong sign. Everything's got to go back, including us, and we'll come back in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little tough where that's definitely our lower RPI. But right now, just being so new, kind of everything is of interest to us. It's not necessarily like we won't do something. It's kind of like, okay, how do we make this work? What vendor can we call? Like, who can give us the best for this so that we're not in the red, but we're still doing what the sponsor wants? You know, that's really where we've been trying to find that line. And Gary, our GM, he was the GM of the Brooklyn Cyclones for like 20 years. That's the minor league team for the Mets out in Brooklyn. Okay. he understands that, and he's been really great. He's like, Kevin, come here. Let me show you why your proposal makes no sense. I'm like, okay. And then he'll break it down for me. And then I'm able to see, and it's like you said, the ideas, right? And having those constraints to where you're not floundering out in the middle of the ocean. He's showing me where in my proposal that makes sense, that doesn't. Change this to that so that it works for everybody. And it's like, okay. Don't give away the farm. That's the quote that he always has. And it's like, okay, I get that. Where can we make it work to where everybody's happy? So that's been good.
Gotcha. Well, that's it sounds like you have a good boss. That's always useful. Always useful. Right. So then shifting, I guess, a little bit. The top three moments, let's say, life to date in relation to you and sport. What have they been?
Ooh, interesting. One definitely came from about a month ago, a little less than a month, about 3 weeks. I don't know, maybe actually you've heard of them, Declan. The Irish Wolfhounds.
Yes.
They are the Irish-American team that's trying to create a team to put into the World Baseball Classic for Ireland.
Yep.
They're a bunch of Northeastern guys that set it up. I kind of been following them for a little over a year, maybe about 2 years now. As soon as I kind of saw what they were doing, I was like, this is cool. And I just did it on my own just because I'm an Irish American baseball fan. You know what I mean? Like, I love when guys come up. I know you guys had PJ Conlon. He was one of my big players. He was on the Mets for about 2 years, a pitcher, left-handed pitcher from Ireland. And it was one of those things where I was like, whoa, this is new. I've never seen this before. I had reached out though, and I was like, listen, being in this kind of position I'm in, I was like, I would love to talk to you guys more about doing something. You know, I don't know what that something is, but I'd love to just have the phone call. You know, here's my cell. Call me. It was an Instagram DM, like nothing crazy. I was just like being a fan almost. Yeah. John Fitzgerald reached back out to me. He's the president, I believe, or vice president. And he was like, listen, we're playing in upstate New York right now. I'd love to come downstate and play if that's possible and do something like that. I was like, 100%. We put it together. They came and played in the middle of July, July 15th, I think it was. And it was just a cool thing for me to where I went from a fan to being involved in it, all for a great cause and a cause that I believe in. And I think that Ireland can get a team together. And they're doing such great work on their end, the IABF, Emerald Baseball Society. I know, I think they were in Belfast last week doing a clinic, and they're going to do a lot more in Ireland to where baseball becomes one of the major sports. And I do think that they'll get a team together for the WBC, and I hope that I can be a part of it and see it and watch and cheer them on. But that was definitely one of the cooler things. Another one was actually this past weekend we had our Italian Heritage Night. I'm not Italian. I don't have Italian blood in me, but my girlfriend does, you know. So, you know, I get into it. And being from Staten Island, we call it Staten Italy. Okay. That's the thing for it, you know. So it really, even if you're not, you're involved in it and you're engrossed in it. Last night was our most successful night in terms of dollars and cents. It was our most successful night.
Wow. Congrats.
Since we started. And we had a great time and there was a ton of social media influencers that came out that are from Staten Island. And it was just one of those things. We had like a festival going on in the right field area where it felt like it was Little Italy, you know, Mulberry Street in the middle of the San Gennaro feast. And it really did. And I got to tip my cap to everybody up top that made it happen. And it was great. And that was definitely one of the cooler nights as well. Top of that, if I give you a third one, in June, we hosted a celebrity softball game. That was very cool. It was the WFAN, I'm not sure if you know it, it's the sports radio channel out here in the New York area, all the way down to Jersey and out. But we had Tiki Barber, who is, in my opinion, Hall of Fame running back for the New York Giants. Yeah. And his crew came out with Craig Carden, who such a famous personality right now, just signed a huge deal with Fox Sports. They came out and hosted it. And it was just, the energy was different. It was fun. Yeah. It kind of changed it up on an outside event, which was cool.
Those are three pretty cool ones. So it'd be very interesting to chat in another year and see how they changed. Yeah.
How it changed, right? Yeah, but, definitely.
So I guess that's the positive. There's always a challenge in life, isn't there, Kevin? So what do you think has been the toughest nut to break so far?
It's a twofold. One is sometimes I feel like we're fighting a ghost with the Staten Island Yankees. because they were around for so long, people still associate us with them and they interchange us for the good and for the worse. Okay. You know, there are a lot of those instances as well. It's trying to not only tell people that baseball is back on Staten Island, but it's different. It's not the Staten Island Yankees. It's the Staten Island Ferry Hawks. We're our own thing, and we do a bunch of different things to where we shouldn't be associated with them. Not that we don't want to, yeah, but we want to be our own. And then on the second fold of that is kind of letting people know that we are here. And that's really been a challenge as well. You know, starting up so quick has its faults to where we couldn't really invest entirely into marketing and really flooding every channel that we are here. It's more so manpower. So it's all of us in the community and being out there and wearing our Ferry Hawks gear and kind of highlighting, this is what we did this month. This is what we're doing next month. Come on out. If you're not here, you're missing out. And if you haven't already been here, then shame on you. It's tough to do that when it's just a few of us. But that challenge gets alleviated over time. And the more people we hire and get on board and more internship programs that we have, that works out better. But definitely starting up, it's been tough trying to convince people that A, we're not the Yankees, and B, we are here.
Okay, well, good. I have faith in what I've heard you say so far that, you know, you're taking those challenges on very well, and it's a growing success, so it'll keep going. You keep at it. All right, so now a bit of fun. So who's the biggest or the best joker kind of fun person that you reckon you've met in sports so far?
Biggest joker. We have a player right now, his name is Nick Beardsley, and he is just one of the more entertaining guys that I've seen in the sport and in minor league sports. He's constantly dancing, having a good time. You know, from what I hear in the locker room, he's a funny guy. He's just kind of doing his thing. So I definitely say on the player end, probably Beardsley. On the front office end, I would have to say my boss, Gary. He's just a funny guy. He loves to have fun. He's constantly doing just pranks and getting us into the day to where we're laughing and it's like, all right, let's do this. Like, you know, sometimes during the season it could be a grind. We're in month 5 of 6 on a season right now. We're feeling it. Yeah. We're definitely feeling it. It's a 132 game season. But it's good when he is able to be light and funny and we follow suit. But yeah, I'd probably say Gary.
Okay. That's pretty cool. So the next one is a kind of, I mean, it's an interesting thing. We just come up with like nerves of steel winner, right? So I guess that depends on the context, but whether that's in a business context or in a sport context, sometimes we come across people who they just have a certain sense of calm and a determination about them. And no matter what happens, they don't seem to get flustered. Have you met anybody like that?
For sure. I mean, this is a perfect example, in my opinion. Kelsey Whitmore. So Kelsey is the first ever female professional baseball player.
Okay.
And we have her. She is awesome. Of course, there's a lot that comes with that. And I'm sure she'll be the first to tell you as well. No matter what, she comes in. And in my opinion, she's the hardest worker on the team. She comes in. She lifts with the guys. She plays with the guys. She's just as good as them. And every day she has to hear it from outside sources. Yeah. You know, whatever. Whatever is coming her way, negative-wise, she's just straight as an arrow and kind of, I'm just going to keep going, doing my thing. I believe in myself. And honestly, it's made her better for it. I give her a lot of credit and honestly look up to her in a way to where she just kind of keeps going. And I respect that. And she's getting better. She's just as good as everybody else, in my opinion.
That's awesome. Well done, Kelsey. We're going to make sure we follow her carefully now. Yeah. No
of
added
course.
Pressure, obviously. More from a support perspective. Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, you're a baseball team, so this may be an odd question, but in terms of the office staff, if I can call them that, who's the biggest sports fan?
Huh. I'm pretty up there. I would say in regards to loving a team so much, I'd probably go with one of our group salesmen, Joe Cheeto. He is like a diehard Yankees fan, like through and through, no matter what. I mean, they're not doing too hot right now, and he's still... he's following the score all the time. I'm like, don't you get sick of baseball sometimes? I mean, listen, I love the Mets. I've loved the Mets my whole life. I haven't been to a Met game in 2 years because I see 63 games every year. I'm like, I just want to watch TV. I don't know. I'm craving football right now. College football, I'm craving. especially with Notre Dame going to play in Dublin in 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, I'm itching for it. But I'd say Gino, he's diehard no matter what.
Okay, pretty cool. And then I guess into more, I guess, kind of personal stuff. And this sometimes depends on age, some people, and it changes sometimes. But did you or do you have a sporting hero? So was there one person when you were growing up, or is there one person now who you're like, that person?
You know what? I'll do a little twofold on this too.
Okay.
From a player side and a front office side. Yeah. Player side, I grew up, I loved two players in particular. One, Brady Quinn. He was, in my opinion, the greatest college quarterback of all time. Everybody can fight me on that. He was the Notre Dame quarterback from like 2006 to like 2008. He was awesome. I wanted to be him in every facet of my life. And then David Wright. I love David Wright. He was the Mets third baseman my entire life from like 2005 to just about like 2017, 2018. He was just the embodiment of captain to me. I know Derek Jeter was to a lot of the Yankee fans. I was David Wright. He was just fun loving. He always had a smile on his face, but he was serious and he knew when to be a leader versus a teammate. And that's kind of where I see myself too. On the flip side, on the business end, I look up to my uncle, Rob DeAngelis. He's a partner with CAA. He's the head of their partnerships. And I look up to him to where I could be and how I could kind of, I don't know, steer myself and just be like him, be like Mike, right? Be like Rob. And that's kind of just the way it is. He's just very true. And it's like what we were saying before, the values. And it's just, you know, being a good guy. And that's what he is. And it's just kind of, how can I follow that?
That's nice. I always think it's useful to have people who we kind of admire and we aspire to be like, because it gives us something to kind of aim for. And it's, you know, it's another voice in our heads. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then in terms of a sporting event, okay, so including last night, if you want, what has been the best sporting event or occasion that you've been at?
Ooh. The most fun I've ever had at a sporting event was definitely in 2015 when the Mets were clawing their way to first place. It was right after the trade deadline. They had gotten Yoenis Cespedes and everybody started coming to their own. It was probably like August of that year. They played at that time, the division rivals, the Nationals. Mm-hmm. And the Mets hit like back-to-back-to-back home runs in one inning.
Okay.
And this was, you know, towards the end of the season too. And Nationals were in first place. This was to get into first place. They hit back-to-back-to-back home runs in one inning. And I actually thought Citi Field was going to be burnt to the ground. Just, it was so loud. It was almost to the point where, you know, when you get ringing in your ear and you're just kind of like looking around like a deer in headlights, that's how I felt. I was like, whoa, this is intense. That was definitely the most intense sports moment I've been at live, for sure.
That's cool. That's cool. Favorite way to relax after such intensity?
Yeah. I love going down to the Jersey Shore, hanging out on the beach. My girlfriend has a great house in Long Beach Island, New Jersey. Kind of just hanging out, going out on the boat, taking in some sun and just listening to good music.
Okay, that sounds nice. That sounds very nice. Yeah. And you won't have the typical, I mean, Ireland is beautiful and there's a lot of coastline for such a small country, obviously, because it's an island. But frequently there's a fair amount of wind.
Yeah.
Okay, good lashing of rain as well. So
yeah,
when you're hanging out, you tend to get it all. As we say, four seasons in not just one day, four seasons in 1 hour is entirely possible.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
So, and what's the best thing that's happened to you so far this week?
This week? I will say Saturday night with Italian Heritage Night was a lot of fun. And all my friends and family were there kind of just having a good time. And they were able to see me in my element. That was nice. Oh, that was cool. Nice. Even though I felt crazed at times, they were like, oh, it was so great watching you and doing that. And I was like, all right, cool. And it makes it worth it, right?
100%. I also think that people forget when you're involved in running an event or anything where there's loads of people attending, you're picking up on all the tiny little things that you know aren't quite right and need to be fixed. Yeah. Most of the time, everyone else is just having a good time. And they don't spot 90% at least of what is in your head. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And after you do it, you feel like it's that feeling like when you host a huge party at your house and then everybody leaves and afterwards you just sit there and you just breathing heavily. That's how I feel every game.
Right. Yeah. So relaxation is definitely something that needs to be built into the routine for sure.
100%.
So I guess you're coming towards very much the back end of the season. So looking past that and into, let's say, the calendar year of 2023, what are your hopes for the remainder of the year?
For the remainder of the year, I will say it's a bittersweet moment when the season ends. September 14th is our last home game. You feel relieved, but you also are like, what could I have done differently? You know, you never want to end a season with regrets. I am looking forward to taking like a week off. That's number one. And then getting right back to it. You know, because we're an outdoor venue, we have to capitalize on the months we can capitalize on.
Of course.
Because New York winters sometimes can be unforgiving. Yeah. In October, we have like a haunted house type of thing coming to the stadium where they're going to be taking over the concourse. Yeah. It's going to be like a 60-minute event where you're kind of just scares and thrills for 60 minutes, which should be good. We should be exciting. We're doing a cornfield on the field for kids. And then come wintertime, we're hoping to put together a holiday village of sorts, just kind of keeping that community and that entertainment value up there. Because come January, February, and beginning of March, we're going to be out of commission. So it's just kind of getting enough in and having it still be fun.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. That kind of scary house type concept. I know in Dublin, maybe for the past 3-4 years, there's been something like that which has come to town and has been very popular with my teenage kids. Yeah, so
for sure.
Hopefully it can generate a few bucks for you. Yeah. All right, Kevin. Well, listen, I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting to you.
Thank you. You too, man.
I really have. And okay, it's only my opinion, so who cares about my opinion? But certainly everything you've said to me makes good sense. And I think the Staten Island Fairyhawks are in good hands. I think for anybody, any brands listening to this particular podcast, Kevin, in my 3-point summary, is offering a situation where, because they're new and growing, they're pretty much open to anything within reason. Have your values right, please. And if you want community and if you want a lasting relationship, really good synergies there as well. And clearly creativity and adaptability are traits as well. So I think you guys make a lot of sense. And just as a last shout out again to any liquor companies out there or construction companies
right.
on fit outs, or maybe the two of you get together and do something. I might have an idea about that. I'll talk to you about it after the call. Yeah. All right. All right, Kevin. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much, Declan.
That's all for this episode. Thanks once again to Kevin for giving us his time and for sharing his insights. If you've enjoyed listening, give us a like and leave a comment on the podcast provider of your choice. We appreciate your support. If you are a brand considering partnering with a sports rights holder or an athlete looking to partner with a brand, do consider the Sportendoors platform to facilitate the collaboration. And if you're in the New York area and see value in sport and community, then the Fairyhawks represent a great opportunity to have an impact. And Kevin will be happy to talk to you about clever ways to ensure winning results for everyone. Until next time, take care and be relentless.